fellow one time, and still knowing him, I haven't seen him in years. They went off to the mission field, and his wife, she sang like, "You never heard." And one time I was in a meeting, he got up to preach, he started preaching, and an old preacher stood up and said, "Let your wife sing, let your wife sing." The joke was that, you know, they were tempted to go on the road as a singing group, but he'd better just be the driver, amen.
Right.
Amen. Praise God. Have we had a good time already?
Yes, sir.
Man.
You got it.
Amen. Now it's time for the Word of God. Amen. Take the Bible, go to Galatians chapter 4. Amen. Read one verse and we'll kind of jump around in that chapter and a couple others. Stay mostly right in the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 4. When you found your place, would you stand if you can? And we're just going to read one verse. And here it is, Galatians chapter 4. Look with me at verse 11. Paul said, "I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain." Pray. Father, we love you. God, we thank you so much for your grace and mercy. Thank you for meeting with us already this week. Lord, we come together once again, Father, still to hear from heaven. God, we need help.
Yes, thank you.
And we need you. Lord, the best we do, we know, we confess our own inabilities, God, our own wicked hearts, God, our own weakness in flesh, and Lord God, our own lack of power. Lord, your power is all-powerful. God, we lean now on your power, and we beg you, Father, God, to fill us with your power. Fill us with your help, with that sweet Spirit of God. And Lord God, may the filling be to overflowing, and God, may the overflow be what each heart would need. And help us as well to be Spirit-filled listeners, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You're
seated.
Woke up about 5 o'clock this morning, and one of those nights where, you know, I slept, but I was cognizant the whole night of everything around me. And the only thing I can think of in the afternoon yesterday, I had a Diet Pepsi, and the caffeine is what did. I don't know. But just one of those nights. So at 5 o'clock this morning, I woke up, and it's like the first thing I had on my mind was a verse. It was this verse.
Oh, amen.
And, but Lord, I really need a little bit more sleep. You know, if I get up now, man, you know, Lord, can I just sleep for, give me 30 minutes, Lord. Can I have just 30 minutes? Next thing I knew, it was about 7, amen. Then I woke up and I thought, now what was that verse? Oh man, I know better than to do that. And boy, the Lord was so sweet, he took me back to that verse, amen. So I sat down and put these thoughts together the Lord had given me, and I just thought about this thing. You know, he said, Paul said, "I'm afraid of you." You think about who Paul is. You think Paul was afraid of anything? I mean, you look at his life, you think he's afraid of anything?
Right.
I mean, the ship's going down. He's telling the guy, the captain of the ship, "You made the wrong turn, buddy.
Yeah.
You went the wrong way.
Yep.
You listened to the wrong people." Amen? "You should have listened. You should have listened when I told you this was going to happen."
Yep.
Amen? Paul said, "I told you so." Amen? You ever been there?
Yep.
Have you ever heard, "I told you so"? How many times, right? Here he is. He's not afraid of anybody. Amen. I don't think there's a thing on this planet that scared the Apostle Paul. I mean, he's been jailed for preaching. I mean, he writes 2 Timothy chapter 4. And there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, they're building the instrument that's about to take his life. And what did he say? "I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." Amen. He's telling young Timothy, get ready. Amen. Amen. Be vigilant. Be a good soldier. He's not afraid of anything but this. He's afraid of these Galatian people. "I'm afraid of you," he said. Why would Paul be afraid of them? Look in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. Paul's afraid of them. I already gave away the first point of my outline because They were listening to the wrong people.
Yeah, that's right, brother.
Here the Galatians are. They've been set free by Christ. We sang the song this morning. He set me free. Amen. Set free from the law of sin and death.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Set free from, amen, being in bondage to the law.
Yeah.
Amen. And now under grace. And here they are. They're under grace. And they're listening to the wrong people who come along and try to put them back under law.
That's right.
I had a cousin. You know, here I am. I get saved. I'm the first tailor in the clan to get saved. And man, I mean, my testimony is starting to reach out into cousins and second cousins and third cousins. And people are starting to get saved. And I got this. He'd be about a fourth cousin somewhere down the line. His father was my father's cousin. Then he gets saved, he takes off, he starts doing good, and somebody bent his ear. He goes down here to, is it Little Genesee now that has the Seventh-day Baptist church? How in the world can you mix law and grace? That's like oil and water. They don't mix.
That's right, brother. Yeah.
But he shows up at my church when I was pastor over in Bradford 20 years ago, and he said, you know, he said, we really need to be doing this, and he starts in his law junk. I said, Steve, you missed the boat, man. You need to read the book of Galatians. He said, oh, I have. I said, you didn't read it enough. You didn't believe what it said.
Mm.
Amen.
Amen.
We are not under law.
Right.
I don't have to keep the Sabbath. Amen.
That's
the
right.
Sabbath was made for man. Amen. I don't have to keep it. And the man it was made for, amen, God's not dealing with right now. He's dealing with Gentiles predominantly.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, when Jesus showed up and had a service, it was on a Sunday. Amen. And if you look again, study it out, the next one was a Sunday night. Amen. Why do you have church on Sunday morning, Sunday night? Jesus did.
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
Right. Yes, sir, bro.
You miss it. Listen to the wrong people. Look at Galatians 1:6. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel.
That's right. That's what it is.
Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. I don't have time to go into all the doctrine of it, but if you follow how this thing started back in Acts chapter 2, and you get up to about now where we're in Galatians and on through to today, it changed a little bit. There are some changes in the preaching. There are some changes made in what the apostles and the disciples. By the way, you and I are disciples, amen.
Mm-hmm.
If you're saved and trying to follow Christ, there's been some changes in what they were given power to do.
Yeah.
Amen. There are certain apostolic gifts that aren't there today. And there's people that try to mock them and mimic them and try to make you
right.
think it's real.
That's right, brother. Yes, sir.
And when you study it out, the Bible says they've turned the grace of our God into lasciviousness.
Yes, they have.
What's
yes.
that? They took license to do something God didn't give them power to do.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens here, these people, this is early on, and they're still, they've come out from under the law. Now they're under grace. Now they're being, amen, led in the direction that the church is supposed to go. And all of a sudden now, they hear about this law and they want to go back under it. And listen, they're Galatians. Is anybody in here of Irish descent? Yeah, a good many of us. Hi, lad, it's a fine land over there in Ireland. Here's the thing. Our ancestors were the Gauls. Galatians. Our ancestors were the Gauls. You trace it back. Many of our names, if we have Irish names, came from the Gauls.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And there's not too many Irishmen like to hear it, but the Frenchmen were part of that too. Amen. When you study the history, I like history. I study Colbert Dale's. I love history. I study it. I like it. Here they are. They're not Jews. They're Gentiles. They are, to the Jew, a dirty dog Gentile.
Right.
Amen. But God, who is rich in mercy, wherewith his great love, wherewith he loved us, what? Now he's come to us, amen, given us an opportunity.
That's right.
Given these Galatians an opportunity to be at liberty with Christ. And they're choosing go back under the law. I don't know about you, but I'm not a very good sheep farmer.
No.
I was a cattle farmer growing up. We had milk cows, we had beef cows. Amen. And one thing I know about cattlemen, they hate sheep. They'll eat them, but they won't grow them. I remember when my one great uncle, my great grandfather, homesteaded in Pennsylvania when they still had the Homestead Act. And he homesteaded about 2,000 acres. And what he did eventually was he broke that 2,000 acres up into five farms for his boys. My grandfather got one, a couple of my great uncles got one, you know, and it was passed down that way. Well, everybody's cow farmers, everybody's cattle farmers. But my Uncle Glenn decided he was going to raise sheep. You know, Brother Tim, there was about 20 years where none of the brothers would talk to me. Raising a stinking sheep. And the cow farmers, hey, man, listen. You're going to get under the law. Where's your sheep? Amen. Where's your lamb? Let's do the whole law. In fact, he says if you're going to do it, you do the whole thing. You're debtor to the whole law. Where's your lamb? I don't see anybody in here to raise your sheep. Anybody got sheep in their backyard? It don't work, amen. It don't work. If you do, don't tell Brother McVeigh. We'll be eating it for a night, amen. Amen. I like that mutton too, amen. I like that sheep to eat. But amen, it just ain't good for a farm when you got cattle. What are you trying to say? They're trying to put them back under the law. Hey, listen, if you're going to be doing the law, we better do the whole thing.
That's right.
That's what I asked this cousin of mine. I said, where's your lamb? Jesus was my lamb. I said, what, you eat him every Sunday or what, like the Catholics or what? I said, buddy, you've got to have a lamb. You've got to have a lamb of the first year without spot, without blemish. Mm-hmm. And he's got to be offered according to the law.
That's right, sure does.
That's what confounds the Jews today. They got no sacrifice. They got no lamb. They got no blood. Man, you can trip them up quick with it. And here they are. What are they doing? They're preaching another gospel, the gospel of the law.
That's right. That's right, brother.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
Look with me down in verse 12. Verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jewish religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. You see what he calls it now is traditions. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. He goes on and tells them all about how the gospel of the grace of God came to be. Now it was revealed by God. And how he's followed it and preached it. What happens? Look at 1 Corinthians 14:10. Just turn left a few pages there. 1 Corinthians 14:10. Here's what it says. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world,
right.
And none of them is without signification. They were listening to the wrong voices,
yes,
listening
sir.
To the wrong people.
Yes, sir.
Yep. And here in 1 Corinthians 14, he's rebuking the church at Corinth for listening to the wrong voice.
That's right.
Who are you listening to this
yeah,
morning?
Yeah, buddy. That's good.
Amen. You heard Craig Cobb every once in a while turn on Benny Hinn for comic relief. Amen. That's about all the farther you can go.
Yeah, no question, brother. Yes, sir.
Amen. I'll never forget, Brother Tim, when I was first saved, I think it was Joyce Meyer. Probably would have been one of her first sermons. I don't know. But I had a little surgery, and rather embarrassing surgery, but I had to have it. I was laying flat on my back on a donut, amen, and my family got to go off to church. Probably one of the only Sundays I've ever missed, unless I was flying overseas, and Sunday happened while I was flying. I had to miss church that Sunday. Well, I had this little television, little 12-inch TV, it's clear across the room. And I'm laying on the couch, and they didn't have remotes in them days, Brother Dale. So my family going off to church, I wanted to hear preaching. I knew Jerry Falwell came on, old time gospel hour, and he would preach the gospel at least, so I'd get some gospel, you know. Well, I'm sitting there waiting for Jerry Falwell to come on. Who comes on but Joyce Meyer? And she gets to preach it. And I'm looking at that, and I'd only been saved a few weeks, maybe a few months, just very, very new Christian. And the first thing I noticed was when they introduced this speaker, it's a woman. I'm scratching my head. Now, I hadn't heard about 2 Timothy 2:12. You know, I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over a man. I hadn't heard that. I hadn't heard a message on it yet. But here's this woman. And so, you know, open your Bible. So I open my Bible. And she starts down that whole context. And she gets to verse 11. And she's doing this number. And she's getting it. Just like she had good sense. And she stopped at verse 11. She never read verse 12.
Right.
I took my donut and threw it at the television. I said, read the next verse, you stupid woman. God said you ain't supposed to be doing that. She didn't hear me.
Yeah.
But man, it was sure relieving.
Amen.
Listening to the wrong people.
That's right.
Amen. Oh, I know. There was Deborah in the Bible. You better study that now a little bit. If you study it out, it'll twist some inks out of your head. She wasn't a preacher.
That's right.
Amen. Mm-hmm. I know when God can't get a man, you know, he'll get a woman. Ladies, God love you. I love you. My mom was a lady. My wife is a lady.
Hey. Thank God.
I love ladies. But you're not supposed to be preaching. Not to men. I'm dealing with a situation right now. I got invited to do the first ever revival in the church. Been in the church for 20 years. Never had a revival meeting. Never had a special meeting. Call me up. And listen, I'm not knocking them. I'm just telling you. They're so green, if you stuck them in the ground, even after 20 years, they grow. So I go, and they don't know anything about the King James Bible issue. They don't. They know what they've been hearing. They know what the preacher was taught in Bible school.
Oh.
I tell you what. I got a preacher in Kenya that we put him through Bible Institute in 6 months, and I'd put him up against any Bible college graduate in America.
Oh, yeah.
From any age.
Yeah, that's right.
He's been taught Bible verse by verse for 6 months. He knows more Bible than the average guy with a PhD in religion today.
Sure.
That's right, brother. Yes, sir.
And here they are. They don't know.
That's right.
They're just, ignorant. So my wife and I, we go this year, and I'm ready to preach. And they have church first at 8:30. Then they have Sunday school after that. I don't know where they got that or why they do it that way, but they do it that way. We're independent Baptists, right? Have at it. You want to have a 3 o'clock in the afternoon and a 10 o'clock at night, sir? I don't care. I'll come and preach. Well, we go to Sunday school. Here's a woman. And there's men all around this thing. And there's preachers, and I'm sitting there going, oh boy. Ay, ay, ay. We got some work to do here. Hey, preacher, did you rip their face off? No. I'm telling you, they're ignorant. Why? Because they've been listening to the wrong voices.
Amen, bro.
That's it, bro. Yeah.
So little by little, I threw some breadcrumbs out there. Right? Amen, breadcrumbs.
Mm-hmm.
Give them a little bit of sound doctrine. You know, there's some folks who can't take strong meat yet.
Right.
Even after 20 years, still can't take strong meat because they've never heard it. I can go in there and dump a T-bone steak on them, but you know what they're going to do? They're going to puke. They're going to get upset.
That's right.
They're going to, amen, never, ever, ever come back to the book. They'll go off with the NIV crowd and the New King Jimmy crowd and all that stuff. Why? Because that's what they've been hearing. You throw them a little bread. And I could watch him. I could see it. I could see him. You see those ears? Ooh. Every time you throw him a nugget, they'd be, ooh. You can tell. You can tell in a good church when you throw something out and somebody goes, hey, man, that's easy. Got a friend of mine that took a church that the pastor had died, and he took it from there. They voted him in as pastor, and he said, preacher, what do I do? And I said, well, I'm going to tell you right now. I can tell you how many people you're going to lose, and I can tell you who they are, but I'm not going to. I said, I'll be out there in a few months, whatever. I wrote the names down, and I preach there every year. Couple, three times a year. It's a church I was called to preach in. So, I wrote the name down. When I saw him, five families had left. We were talking, and I told him, I said, I'm not going to tell you who they are. When I saw him, I slid in the paper with the five names on him. He said, brother, how did you know? I said, you can read their faces.
Right.
It's easy. You can tell where they are. When
yeah,
you
sure. I think they're hiding it.
Here's these people, they don't know, man, and they're, I didn't have one look at me with a, amen,
mm-hmm.
They're hungry, they want to know. Here again, you can't dump the whole load on them. Amen, I'll never forget the first person I witnessed to and led in the sinner's prayer. When I first got saved, the young boy in my Sunday school class, I went to visit him with my pastor, and his mom was sitting there, and I started witnessing, and the preacher just kind of let me have it all, and got all done, and got out in the car, and I said, well, preacher, what do you think? He said, well, if you'd have been a truck driver, you'd have failed your driving test. I said, why is that? He said, son, you don't dump the whole load on him the first time. Whoa, boy, that was a strong revelation, Brother Tim. Amen. Yeah. And boy, I found it so, amen, as time goes on, sometimes, instead of a load of stone, it's one pebble.
Right.
That's all they can handle.
Sure is, brother. That's right.
But these people, amen, they've been getting fed this garbage. Amen. Hey, listen, if it only takes one pebble of strong meat, what do you think it takes of the wrong meat?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Especially, amen, if that wicked heart gets the coochie-coo. Amen. Ooh,
yep.
Tickle my ear. I like that.
Right, preacher.
That's right, brother. Yes, sir.
And before you know it, those breadcrumbs have led you off in somewhere where you don't even know where God is.
Yeah.
But you turn around, you go to church, and there's noise and motion, so God must be there. I've been in a lot of places where there's noise and motion, and God wasn't
there. That's
right.
Wild. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, it's a high fly ball to deep center field. It's out of here. People worshiping. Oh, yeah, man, I've been in the Yankee Stadium. I don't even think they have the old Yankee Stadium anymore. I sat on the first base line right at the foul pole. Jason Giambi hit a home run, and you could see the stitches on the ball as it went by. But then I felt like I could just reach out and just grab it out of the air. And the home run went just inside the foul, and everybody went berserk. You ever stand outside of a sports stadium and listen? Stand back about a mile and just listen. You know, it sounds just like a worship service where folks are really worshiping God. And if you didn't have the discernment, if you closed your eyes, you could almost testify to the fact, hey, there's a worship service going on.
Amen.
I'm telling you, you listen to the wrong people. Hey, listen, a lot of good people started by letting their kids play sports.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Junior's got to play baseball so he can learn to be on the team. You want to teach him to be on the team? Keep him in church.
Yes, sir. That's it, brother.
He'll learn to be on the team.
Sure.
Exactly right.
Oh, but they're having practice on Wednesday night.
Oh, no.
Not with my Junior.
Nope,
they're
no
not.
No way.
That's right.
That's right.
Sorry.
What happened?
And you know how it is, well, you know, we'll give you a little grace this time.
I don't know.
You better give me grace next time, too, because I ain't doing it.
That's right. No question.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes, sir. Amen.
If sports got played in my house, they got played in the yard.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Amen. Good. Or at church.
Yeah, that's good.
Right. Amen. Around a church activity. Why? The most important thing was the service of God and the services of God and being in the presence of God.
Yeah, amen, brother.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And you go to these churches and you go there on a Wednesday night and the preacher says, we normally run about 200. There's about 30 there.
Is that something?
I said, where's everybody else? He said,
Lord.
Oh, brother. Yep.
Not in my house.
Mm-mm.
Ain't going to happen.
No way.
And I'm not listening to anybody that says, oh, this would be a wonderful thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I've done been down that road, amen, when I first got saved. I mean, still in the church, never left the church, never missed a service. I've seen what happens to Baptists when they start a ball league, amen.
Oh, yeah.
Listening to the wrong people. You don't need a ball league to bring people together. I play a game now and then. It's fun. Amen. Games
no question.
Are fun.
Absolutely.
Especially when you can win, amen. They listen to the wrong people.
Mm-hmm.
They start listening to the wrong doctrine. And you know what the devil does? He's smart. You know, every cult, every heretic, every one of them may only have that much, but it's there and it's true.
Mm-hmm.
You can find truth in the Islam. You can read their book and you can find truth in there.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll have to go with a sieve to get it out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can go to the charismatics and you can find truth. You can go to the Armenians who believe that you must be baptized to be saved, and you can find truth. But you better have a sieve to get it out. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Listening to the wrong people. Secondly, they were being led by the wrong leaders. Paul said, I'm afraid of you. You're being led by the wrong people. Look at Galatians 2, verse 4. And that because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Here they are, they're false brethren.
Yes, my name's Dr. Malfongus. And I have pre-earned doctorates, one in theology, one in music, and one in ministry.
Amen.
That's right.
And amen, I don't care where. I got three PhDs too. They're all in my shed at home. I call them post-pole diggers.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
And I'm about that close to a doctorate myself, but I don't get it. I gotta do is write two papers and I got it. I don't find the time to do it. I don't need a piece of paper that says you've been educated.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
I barely have enough time to get in this book, this book, study this book, get to know the God of this book, to worry about all that.
That's right, yes, sir.
The farther down the line you get, you find that there's more opportunities in ministry than you can physically go through.
Mm.
God will keep you busy if you'll just look. Amen. If you'll just stay faithful, He will keep you busy.
Sure.
I'm not knocking anybody that has a doctor's degree, but you know, some folks, it didn't go to their head. Brother John's didn't go to his head.
No, it didn't. No, sir. Nope.
Amen.
Thank God.
Praise God, man.
Thank
and there's some missionaries I knew that went to countries that if they hadn't got a doctorate degree, they wouldn't have been in the country. I understand all that. If it's for God, do it.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't come in here with your phylacteries and all your garbage and all your papers and say, here, you know what we get papers on, don't you? Dogs.
Yeah, that's right.
The dogs have papers? Yeah, mine do the newspaper right there. Amen. Amen.
Amen, brother. Yeah.
False brethren came in unawares. What are they doing? Spying out the liberty?
That's right.
Hey, you know what I heard going on over at church? Whoa, man, let's go check. No, you don't. You don't want to believe it. You just want to see it. They want to be entertained by the freak show.
Yep.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Led by the wrong leaders. Read on down with me there to verse 14. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly, according to the truth of the gospel, isn't that amazing that just yesterday we saw weight with righteousness and sin not? We walk not uprightly, they walk not uprightly, according to the truth of the gospel. I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? He said, Peter, you've been living with the Gentiles, you've been preaching to the Gentiles, and now why are you trying to take the Gentiles back under the law? Why are you trying to do that? He rebukes him. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even when we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified.
Amen.
Amen. Look down there in verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain.
That's right. Yep.
Why did Jesus Christ have to die? Because the law could not do it.
That's right.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yep.
They were led by the wrong leaders. Even Peter. The great apostle Peter.
That's right.
Very good. And listen, in case you want to fault Peter, study Peter's life. Read his writings. You know what one of the last things he said was? Over in 2 Peter? Even our brother Paul, when speaking of those things, he said they're hard to be understood. Peter was still having a hard time swallowing it at the end of his life. But that didn't change the fact that he preached grace after Paul rebuked him. That didn't change the fact, amen, that he's still preaching for God. But all too often today, most preachers, if you even rebuke them privately,
sad, brother, yep,
won't take it. Open rebuke is better than secret love. You dare not rebuke them openly.
Amen.
Man, they, you want the sparks to fly?
Yes, right. Sir, bro. Yep.
Help yourself.
Yep.
How dare you challenge me? I've been to What's the Matter University. What's the Matter You, for sure. Led by the wrong leaders. I am not, will not, never will, follow Joel Osteen.
Easy. <Yeah.
laughs> Cutting on some thin ice, huh? Nor will I ever follow the guy's name. The big fat guy from Houston. Okay. Thank you. Dunhaven. Listen, I've been in camp meetings, big camp meetings. I heard Don Hagee say.
Yeah, right, brother.
He ain't even a Bible believer. He ain't even straight in doctrine. Brother Farley called the guy down on it one time. He believes this and so. He said, nope, here it is. And Brother Farley turns on the recording, says, play it. There it is. There's what he believes. That's out of his own mouth.
Right, brother.
And you want to tell me to follow him? You're nuts. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Oh, the great TV preacher.
You know the greatest preacher that's ever been? Is a little old, took back, half blind, half bald preacher that stands in the pulpit every week.
Yep.
From week to week to week to week to week to week to week. Loves his people and feeds his people. The greatest preacher that's ever been. Yet people. Why is that man? They
that's right. Say,
sure is, bro.
Amen. Yep.
That's right.
To some knucklehead on television.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Who don't know Genesis from Revelation.
That's right.
That's right.
Who doesn't love you?
No.
You don't love the people that are watching, all you out there, you listeners, you church folk out there in TV land.
Mm-hmm. That's it, bro. Yep.
That's about what he thinks of you, really.
That's right. Sure. Really is, sure. Yep.
He only wants one thing.
That's right.
There it is.
Yep.
That right there. When he gets that, oh, God is going to bless you. Really?
Mm-hmm.
I remember Gary Luttrell getting rebuked by Jack Wood one time because he gave his last $100 to somebody. Man, I thought I was being spiritual, man. I took my last $100 bill out and gave it to the man. Went home with no money. Well, you don't ride with Jack Wood, man, if you ain't got at least a couple bucks in your pocket, because you're going to buy something along the way. You're going to buy a drink. You're going to buy something to eat. It's a long way from the East Coast back to Houston. So they go and stop and get something, and Luttrell ain't got no money. He said, "Preacher, can I borrow $5? Borrow $5? What for?" I gave my last $100 to that fellow. He said, "Luttrell, you idiot." I mean, he chewed him up one side down the other. He said, "That guy did nothing but blow it anyway. You could have used it to buy your own supper. Now you want me to feel sorry for you and buy your supper." Amen. Led by the wrong leaders. Hey, what else happened? Why? Why was Paul afraid of these folks? They lusted after the wrong things. Galatians chapter 4. Look at verse 21. "Tell me, ye that desire." What is lust but a desire? "Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, an answer to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all." And then what you're desiring is going to put you under bondage. You ever desire something, and then when you got it, it's like, why in the world did I ever want that? All my life, Brother Jack Wood, Jack Wood was my hero. He drove around the country in Lincoln Town Car. He'd have them things, and he paid his own tab, amen? It wasn't on the church. He bought it himself. He was a horse trader. He sold, he bought, amen? He bought what he wanted to drive in. And then Lincoln's, when you get up in your 50s, and he was about in his 50s when I met him, amen? In fact, I think he was right at 50. Them things ride nice. Man, it's a great ride. I rode with him one place. Man, that's pretty good. So I just, I'm beating around the country in all these old wrecks and, putting 1,000,000 miles on them every couple of years, and that sort of stuff. And all of a sudden, man, I get a call from our church secretary. "Brother Cliff, I got a car deal for you." And I'm thinking, need a car, but I can't afford the payments, He said, "Wait, you ain't heard it yet. I got a Lincoln Town Car, 1989. This was about 1999. Lincoln Town Car, 1990. It's a 1989. It's only got 53,000 miles on it. And they only want $3,500 for it. It's this little old lady car. A little old man, little old lady drove it to Florida and parked it, and they drove a car down around when they were in Florida. Then he drove back to Ohio and parked it and drove another car in here. It's only seen highway miles. It's never been driven around putt-putt, Whoa, yeah, man. So I went and I drove it.
Yeah.
On a cloud.
Yeah.
Armrest, man. It was air conditioned everywhere. Woo, man, at your feet, at your nose. Hey, man, even blow by your ear. It was great. Whew, man, I got to have this car. This car is exactly the same color as the ones that Brother Jack always got the same color. A tan color. I might have had a white one in there one year, but man, it's just like Brother Jack's. Man, that'd be great. Ride's good. Strong motor. All right, I bought it. About 9 months into it, I'm going out across the Massachusetts Pike. First time I ever went across the Mass Pike, I did not know that Massachusetts had country in it. I figured all there was Boston and maybe another city somewhere. In the middle of nowhere, guess what happens? I look in the mirror, and here goes a puff of smoke. Right out the middle of the mirror, I thought, oh, that ain't good. The only thing that would puff out the middle would be the transmission. The exhaust is over here. And I come up, I got into a filling station, pulled in there fine, filled up gas, went out of the filling station, and when I went down this little grade and started up this little hill, all it would say is, when you step on the gas. We weren't moving. I had one gear, reverse. You seen them signs says, do not back up on freeway. Sorry, it's the only gear I got. I went backwards, back up into the filling station. Long story short, $1,250 later, I drove out of Massachusetts, missed what I was going to go to, never got to do it, came back to, my mother had some heart surgery, went back to Erie and, you know, helped my, them get over all that, get my mom back on her feet. About a month later, I'm coming up out of Tennessee, coming up Jellicoe Mountain. And I look in the mirror and guess what I saw? Same puff of smoke, same spot in the mirror. This ain't good, man. This ain't good. So I found out that I still had overdrive as long as I kept it engaged. Well, to keep it engaged, you had to run 80 miles an hour. I'm running 80 miles an hour. Why? Because I had this thing in on my AAA, they would tow you 100 miles. I'm trying to get within 100 miles of Dayton so I can get towed home. I didn't make it. I finally had to pull off the road and get some gas. And I'm 100 miles from Cincinnati. My wife says, hey, we got towing on the insurance. So I called my insurance agent. Yeah, he said, we'll tow you. I said, well, I'm here down in wherever it was in Kentucky. Oh, well, we can only get you from. And so I said, well, I got enough to get me to Cincinnati. He said, oh, don't worry about it. He said, get to Cincinnati and then have him tow you on in from there. Bring me the bill and I'll take care of what's left. Okay. Well, the guy driving the tow truck felt bad for us. He drove us all the way home. And I just paid him the extra and then reimbursed me the next day. But here now I got this warranty, right? But I got to go to an independent shop. So I find an independent shop. They fix the tranny again. 1 or 2 weeks later, I'm going on the same mountain the other direction. And guess what I saw? Same puff of smoke. Same spot in here. Hang on, folks. Got my wife, two daughters. 80 mile an hour. Down off Jellicoe Mountain. I just happened to remember a friend of mine. And it just happened to be in Tennessee at that time. I called him. I said, where are you at? I'm over here such and such. I said, I'm coming up on the Eastwood, on the whatever that, Oakwood, Tennessee exit. Whatever that, I think that was it. Oak Ridge, Tennessee.
The Oak Ridge boy.
There it is. Oak Ridge, Tennessee exit. He said, get off right there. I said, right here, right. Yeah, get off right there. So I get off and I coasted, literally, into a parking lot of, I think it was an IHOP. He meets me there. Oh, I used to work for a dealer right over here. He said, man, we'll fix you up. We're going to go over to this dealer and look around, and the Ford dealer. Lincoln's made by Ford. My wife and I are both praying, please don't make us buy a Ford. We've already been through it once. What are you trying to say, preacher? God gave me what I wanted. I sure was sad he did after I got it.
Yeah, that's right, brother.
I sure was sad he did. Mm-hmm. He said back there in Psalms that he gave them their request. Sent leanness to their soul.
Yes, sir.
Lusted after the wrong things. What else happened, preacher? They left liberty to follow bondage. Look at Galatians 5:1. He said this, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. They left liberty to follow bondage. Look at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh sure does like Lincoln, but I've learned to suppress that desire. Amen. I'll take my Chevys, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I'll take my Toyotas even. Amen. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Amen? They left liberty to follow bondage. When they did, they lost sight of the fruits of the Spirit. You get out there so far listening to the wrong crowd, lusting after the wrong things, being led by the wrong people, and you get out there so far that you never see the fruits of the Spirit again. There's people in churches in this area this week that went and saw a show. They got entertained, but they did not see the fruits of the Spirit. You know one thing I noticed about fruit? You read on down there in that chapter, and it gets into the fruits of the Spirit. You know what I notice about fruit? You can't work fruit up. You can't pump up fruit. I know guys that try it, man. They wax the apples, you know, so they, you know, and put them out on it. Amen. Take one bite, and you know it's been waxed. Why? It sticks to your teeth. Amen. You can't. Fruit is produced by God. Even the fruit that hangs on a tree. Without God, you don't get it. Mm-hmm. You ever had a year on the fruit trees where they just didn't bear? Nothing? Why? Because dry year, didn't get the right rain, had an early frost, whatever. The early frost, man, kills all those apple blossoms. No apples. Or late frost, I mean. Amen? Mm-hmm. Get out there. And so what happens now? You have to pump something up to make it look, to make it appear as though it is. Mm-hmm. But it's not. See why? When you bite into it, it's your teeth. Mm-hmm. Leaves a bad taste in your mouth. Man, there's nothing like fresh fruit. Fresh apple. You're in peach country, right? Peaches all around down there. Man, fresh peaches. I mean, bury your face clear to the seed, man. Clear into the pit and just let the juice run. I mean, nothing like it. You ever pick one of them plastic ones up out of a bowl, try to bite into it? Doesn't work too good. They lost sight of the fruits of the Spirit. We've already heard about pride, but they let pride overtake them. Galatians 6:3. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. Now, you know, lest someone would say, well, you know, when he is nothing, I'm not nothing. I'm somebody in Jesus Christ. Yeah, in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
Without him, we are
that's right.
Nothing. I like this part, though. We are zeros. If you take that zero and you put a one in front of it, what happens to the zero? Mm-hmm. It now gets worse. But without the one, zero. A lot of people that are still zeros that don't have the one, but they're thinking they're somebody.
Right.
And there's a lot of preaching today. You are somebody. I'll tell you who I are. I'm a dirty, rotten, no good, dirty dog sinner. That's been saved by the grace of God.
Thank you, Lord.
And what you see in me that's any good came from him, not from me.
Thank you, Lord.
They let pride overtake them, and then they lean on themselves instead of the will of God. It's up to them to pump it up now. It's up to them to drum it up. It's up to them to make people feel good. Man, some of the best times where I've felt good is when a preacher just ripped my hide off with the word of God.
Yeah.
And pointed out to me the things that I was doing wrong.
That's right.
And man, you know, you just, the flesh just hates it. Man, when you've gone and gotten that thing right, you walk away and it's like you're just floating again.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
And the peace is there. The presence of God is real. Amen. Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such in one the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Amen. Back and forth. What happens? When you're leaning on the will of God, man, you're following these things right here. You're communicating with those that taught you. What's that? Giving. Follow the word. You're giving them something back for what they're giving you. Amen? Even if all it is an amen.
That's right. Amen.
Look at verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Baptists have gotten out of doing good.
Yeah.
Man, bless God, I'm not saved by works. Yeah, but Jesus went about doing good everywhere he went. Do good unto all men, especially of them who are of the household of faith. Amen. Mm-hmm. There's God's welfare plan right there. Look at verse 15, and I'll be done. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. I said they were not walking after the will of God, but they were walking, leaning on themselves. Neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. There's God's will, that we all be a new creature.
Mm-hmm.
And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. If you're going to live for Jesus and not have your pastor afraid of you, not have other preachers afraid of you, we're going to have to live by the rule of faith.
That's right, brother. Yep.
Amen.
Yeah.
And the faith is going to have to be evidenced by those around us. They're going to have to know that, man, there is a man of faith. There is a woman of faith. There's somebody who's living for God. You know, I've heard of all kinds of epitaphs. If I could just get one, you serve God.
Uh-huh.
You see, it doesn't come to the guy who finishes fast. It doesn't come to the guy who finishes last. It comes to everybody who just be. When we hear the words, we're not looking for, well done, thou great evangelist. Well done, thou great pastor.
Uh-huh.
Well done, thy great Sunday school teacher. Well done, thou great deacon. We want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful.
Thank you, Lord.
The only way to do it is stay faithful to that, Lord.
I agree.
And somebody comes along and says, check this out, man. Man, check it out. But if it doesn't match up with the book, throw it out.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
And somebody tries to rise up and say, well, you know, the pastor, he's a little narrow-minded, and let me just show you what God showed me. I say, let me show you what God showed me. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't let anybody, amen. I know the situation where pastors get in sin. I understand that, and they can be dealt with scripturally. I'm here to tell you, when that man's there faithful every week, trying to teach, trying to preach, trying to help, loving people, you better not put your tongue on him.
Oh, boy. Yes, sir.
You better not in venom, amen, lash out the tongue at him. Because I guarantee you, you're on thin ice with God when you do.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Listen to God. Be led by God's man. God's man. And let him. Let him lead you. As he follows Christ, you follow him. Father, that's how I did what I told you to do this morning.